And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio today three people who are, I think, going to give you a variety of information, including history, anecdotes, and, well, fun facts. I'm going to start with Janelle.
So my name is Janelle Gagnon. I am the current president of the Friends of the Palmer Public Library. And Mike, we just want to thank you so much for continuing to support the library and the work that the Friends of the Palmer Public Library does on behalf of our fabulous library. Sitting to my left are two wonderful people related to the work that the library does. We have Beth Scow. She is the library director for the Palmer Public Library. And to her left, really happy to have with us here today, Vernon Ewer. She is the founder of the library that we all know and love. And she is also the founder of the Friends of the Palmer Public Library. She was its first president back in 1980. So thank you so much for being here, Verna.
You know, since I have spent a lot of time with Verna, we used to meet regularly on Mondays over at Vagabond Blues. For years, you had a kind of a standing appointment with Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of you were there, and I would come in, and I would sit down, and you would treat me pretty well. You would not take advantage of me because of my youth. And I must say I appreciated those times at coffee, because both of you shared information about the community that I don't, in some cases perhaps it's written down, but in other cases it is simply not available. So in an attempt to sort of capture some of that, I think what we're doing here is saying, okay, tell us where you are now. Where are you living now? Because you're no longer in Palmer.
Well, I have decided to make my residence outside so I don't have to fight with the ice and snow, and I'm currently in Camas, Washington.
Okay, and for those listeners who don't really know where that is, where is it located?
It's just across the bridge from Portland, Oregon.
Okay, very nice. So you can slip across the Portland. And
if you know where Vancouver, Washington is, you know where Camas is. Okay. It's part of it.
Now, are you slowly remaking Camas in the image of Palmer?
Or what? Well, I haven't been down there that long, but I've got to start.
How many years have you actually lived in Palmer? When total number of years?
We moved here in 1964.
64. Wow.
And we left for a couple of years, about 83, and because we came back for the library opening in 85.
Okay, and this is the new library that was built here.
Mm-hmm. And then we came back permanently in 87.
Oh, okay.
Until just this past year. 2018.
Now, you've had a perspective because I've heard, maybe some other listeners are aware too, that you're something of a world traveler. I mean, I would mention places like the Amazon or Europe, and you say, well, yeah, it was okay back in the day, but what caused you to travel so much?
Well, first of all, my husband and I had the same times off, summers. So we were free to travel, and both of us enjoyed it. I've been traveling ever since I graduated from high school. I wanted to go places and do things, and so did my husband. So we just made a point of doing it. We probably have traveled to about 57 different countries in the world, and we've gone to all the continents except Antarctica.
Well, there's still time.
Yeah. No, thank you. I know what Alaska's like. I don't think I need to see more of it.
Okay. So during your time here in Palmer, you didn't just sit back and sleep away the years. You operated what many people would consider one of the most in some cases, difficult kinds of businesses, and that's involving childcare. Talk a little bit about that, how you got into it and what you did.
Well, yeah, I had my teaching career outside in the public schools and the like, but I always had a dream of having a private school for very young children.
Uh-huh.
So when I came to Palmer in 1964, that was the reason we came here, so that I could set up a private preschool. And that is exactly what I did. And I did it until I was 82 years old.
Whoa. Okay.
I enjoyed doing it.
So obviously, you're thinking about it, and I can see your face. You're laughing a bit. But how many kids went through that school, do you think? Give a
were limited to my particular class. We always were limited to 10 children only per person. But I also had daycare in connection with the preschool because the mothers were working.
Sure.
But it started out just as the preschool.
Okay.
And then the era came when mothers started working and needed help to take care of their children after school, the preschool ended. So we opened a daycare along with it.
So I'm wondering whether there are people here in Palmer who went there and then grew up and sent their own kids.
Absolutely. For almost three generations of them.
Wow. Okay.
From 64 to, 2009.
I'm curious also what you learned from that experience with all those kids.
I don't know what I learned.
You must have changed. I'm guessing when the first day you opened it up, it was brand new, you walk in, and then over time you gain experience. But also I'm guessing, a lot of kids who were there were learning things. You were learning how to do this ever better.
Well, I had experience working with kids.
Okay.
About 12 years before I started this, working with children. But I simply learned that you just couldn't take the child by himself. You had to work with a parent along with the child.
Okay, there we go.
So it was kind of an eye-opener to me as just to how deeply embedded those relationships were, and you had to try not only to convince the child of things, but you also had to convince a parent. Otherwise, the child could not follow through.
All right.
So it was a kind of a project of teaching both children and parents exactly how to get through life.
Very good. Now, in addition to all of that, you still had time to be involved with the library. And you're here with two people, the librarian and a person associated with Janelle, who's associated with the Friends of the Palmer Library. But you have history there, too. What did you do with the Friends of the Library in the library?
Well, I was interested in, I've always been interested in books in the library. And when I started my preschool, naturally, I wanted to send the children to the library for books to read and encourage parents to go to the library. And at that time, the library was the area that was just where we hold the city council meetings now. That's all the larger it was.
Okay.
You really weren't able to sit down and read because there wasn't extra space for tables and things like that. There was just nothing. We just room enough mostly for books.
Okay.
And I just thought that wasn't the way a library should be. It should have more space so that you could roam around and sit down and lounge. And so then we had the discovery of oil, and the state started handing out grants of oil money to different cities for different projects, and the borough decided that they would like to have either a library or a city hall. And I wasn't about to sit by and let that go by, that opportunity pass me by, if I could do something about it. So I started to work on it, and they hadn't decided exactly what they were going to build. So I thought this was my opportunity to step forth and do something about it.
So you step forward, and the result is the library we have.
Yes, it was a long story. I heard about it. They told us we had to turn in a grant, and the borough would review it. So it was in the next borough meeting they were going to decide, and that gave me a weekend. So Saturday morning, I talked to the librarian, Sally, and she said, well, go ahead and try writing a grant. I said, well, I've never written a grant ever in my life. So I said, I'm just going to write down what I feel is needed in this community and what we would like to have. I wrote it out, handed it to Edna DeVries, who's a council lady at that time. And she was to take it to the borough meeting the next Tuesday. So she promised she would. She took it, and then she read it, the grant, to the borough. And they were more or less in agreement. I wasn't there. I couldn't be there that night.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know exactly what happened. But at least it was between the city hall and the library. Then the story begins.
Oh, there's more. There's more. What happened?
We needed to prove more or less to the community that they really wanted a library. And we felt a library was more important than a city hall.
Okay.
So I began organizing.
You were a community organizer. Go ahead.
More or less the community organizer. I decided I would go to every club in the Palmer.
Right.
I asked to speak at their meeting.
Got it.
But in my hand, I carried those little legislative slips through the legislative office in Wasilla. And I got a lot of them so that I could hand them out. I would speak at the meetings, and then I would hand them out these slips of paper. I said, now I will be standing by the door when you leave, so I hope you have your signature when you hand them back to me.
And obviously that
and
seemed
then
to work.
And I picked up every one of the slips from every organization, and I picked up the papers from each organization. I would take them to the legislative office, and they in turn agreed to send them down to every single one of our representatives down there.
Okay.
So that soon kind of swamped the legislature down there with all these slips coming in. And so they called me down and wanted to talk to me. So I paid my own way down. I got on the plane, flew down, spent a couple of days there talking to the people about the need for our library in Palmer, and flew back. And things moved along, but there was still contention about the city hall.
Mm.
And when I went to speak to the city manager about that, he says, well, I don't think your city, you're going to get your library, because there just isn't room for it. So then I proceeded to review the lots in the city of Palmer that were available. And I discovered that, indeed, there were no lots that were large enough to really hold a library and parking space. But there was that beautiful ball field where the library now sits. And that man, I do not know his name, I forgot it, but he owned that ball field. And I decided to go have a private talk with him. I called him up, went over to his house and had a private talk with him, asked him if he would sell it to the city of Palmer. He says, "I'll never sell that piece of land to the city of Palmer." I said, "Would you sell it to a group of ladies who are trying to build a library on that property?" He said, "Well, if you buy it from me directly." And I said, "Well, I don't think we can do that, but how about if you sell it to the borough? Would you agree if I made arrangements for that? Because they would be able to pay it. They're the ones that are getting the grant." He says, "Yes, I will do that if you will make the arrangements." From there, I went to the borough.
There, I got a deal for you.
And I asked him if they would be so kind to do that for the city of Palmer to buy that land so we could have a library. They agreed to do that with me, and we got it set up. We got that if we got the grant for the library, we would have land to build it.
Wow. That is fascinating backstory. I'm not sure that too many people, they may have known bits and pieces of that, but
no,
not
that
the
I
rest
never
of it.
Revealed it.
So, whoa, we got you now. So, Beth, you're the librarian, and you work in the building that was built as a result of all this activity.
Absolutely.
Right. And is there any place in the library where there's reference to Verna's activities?
Not at this time, but that is in the works.
I have some of that information.
Okay, so what we're doing is we're talking about living history, and we're talking about improving access to some of these events in Palmer's history that have made the city what it is today. And I know that library building has now been in place for, 30 years? Is that about
it
right?
It opened in 1985.
Right. Okay, so 34 years, I'm counting correctly here. That's a long time. After the library was actually...
I had another thing.
Sure, go for it. Yeah.
Representatives found out that we had land that we could purchase to get it, then they asked me to come down to the... to Juneau again. That's when the librarian and I made up some charts and everything else to show them what our library was like and pictures, and went down there on my own again.
Uh-huh.
And nobody paid my way. I wanted that library. So I flew down there again and presented my proposal to them, and exactly how it was going to happen. And so they decided, well, that sounded very good. And they helped then the borough decide that
this was a good thing to do.
That the library was probably the thing that they were going to build, not the city hall. I know that was not what some people in Palmer wanted, but...
Well, I suspect that the City Hall does get visitors from time to time, and even some few people that come to the Palmer City Council meetings, et cetera. But I'm going to guess that the numbers of people going through the library making use of that are far larger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, making that happen. Well, we haven't heard very much from Janelle. You're essentially, you have replaced the founder. How does that feel?
I think she's clearly irreplaceable. I'm really quite honored to be hearing this story with you in the room. I'm really relatively new to Palmer still. My family has lived here for 3 years. I am, in my past life, a school librarian. Have always used libraries myself. Have always taken my children to libraries. You won't ever hear me say anything that's not pro-library. And so I'm so pleased to be in the position and humbled to be in the position that I am in. But to follow in Verna's example, I don't know. I'm really astounded by your passion. Thank you.
So many people listening probably have had some encounters with you, Verna, and they have learned many things. And hopefully, the sense I take away from what you've described is the intention you had, you were able to follow through on by not hearing people say no, but also and just giving up. But also having picked something that was worthwhile to work with. Beth, you are now how many years in that library working?
10.
10 years, okay. So if you were to, say, listen to Verna talk about what to do next, have you... That might be a good conversation, given her experience of what you did initially, because I know the library has looked toward, after these years and with a growing number of people around, to somehow expand operations. So maybe that's something, as we're finishing up today. Verna, what advice do you have to Beth about where to go with the library now?
Well... I don't think, I mean, it needs to be larger. There's just not that much space because the community is growing. And as the community grows, history grows. And if you want to keep recorded history where it belongs, and that's in the library, why it's going to need to expand some so that there is room for the books that are needed.
So it sounds like, in part, given what you did in the past, you did some personal connection. I mean, by going to individuals who were associated with a variety of clubs, service clubs in the area, et cetera, as well as being very, very careful to make the pitch for this library so that they would understand the advantage and that the focus... Today we have the same kind of situation. We have the city, we have the borough, we have the legislature. Mm-hmm. I suspect, although there was some money available, we called it oil money, there's still money available for the right purposes. And so maybe your example will be enough to carry forward as we continue to enjoy the library. We have a few minutes left.
I would like to say that the more you get the community and involved in knowing about it, and I did it right from the bottom up. I wasn't knowledgeable about how to go about all this organization in the bit. The first time I ever did anything like that in my life. But I wanted it and thought it was needed, and I went for it. I just let myself loose and went where I felt it was needed.
But I think you were a champion for the library, and you didn't give up.
No.
And just being able to find different paths to make that happen. You know, when they said you don't have property, you didn't not stop. You found property, and you found ways to make that happen. That today, a lot of people don't have that inside them to make happen. And it's beautiful that you were the champion for the library to make it happen. It overwhelms my heart, all that you've done and how much other people need to step up to.
Yeah.
So, well, I did it. I opened my preschool. So I had a little background experience, I should say, on how to go about opening, getting something started and pursuing the right avenues and things of that nature. I think that helped, but a bit.
Well, you've covered the ground about the preschool and the library and some of your time here. Is there anything else you'd like to share with listeners before we finish up?
To honor this great champion of libraries, and particularly the Palmer Public Library, we are having a special event this coming Sunday, January 13th, at the library in the large meeting room. It starts at 2 o'clock, and we have some special speakers. We'll have cake. It is free and open to the public, but it is all to honor the work that you've done and to celebrate you and to celebrate libraries. And I have to say, I was particularly inspired by your desire to create a bigger space for the people of Palmer. And I think that there might be people who are inclined to think that the space doesn't matter. But when it comes to libraries, the materials inside the library are just as important as the space and the environment that's created inside the space.
Indeed.
Yes. So I really applaud what you've done. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I want to thank Verna and Beth and Janelle for coming in. Hope to see you all there Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock. Right?
Yes.
We'll be there. Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.